Roll with it, baby. I think it's about all we can do sometimes when it comes to tragedies in the news. Try to make the best of a bad situation, never forgetting the loss of life this week in Washington, D.C. And, you know, there's lots of things I'm sure that can be said about what happened and what is still yet to come, but it won't be said on this show, not tonight anyway. It's Friday night. Come on, let's just have a little more fun this weekend. We'll do the same thing coming up tomorrow night on Coast to Coast. And so with that in mind, it's open lines. Take us anywhere else you want to go. I just don't want to get involved in any big political conversations. I hope you'll honor that. We'll find out next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. I think we're killing it in Juneau, Alaska tonight. It's open lines on Coast to Coast AM, and Jeff is west of the Rockies in Juneau. So that's a Juneau. How do you call it? What do you call somebody from Juneau? A Juneauite? A Junonian? What do you call yourselves?
A Juneauian.
Really?
I don't know. Junoid. I've heard it both ways.
Junoid. I like that one. We'll go Junoid. But yeah. You're my back-to-back Junoid because I had one last hour, too.
Yeah, it's open. I heard her.
Go ahead.
Well, first of all, Ian, thanks for taking my call. Thanks for the breath of fresh air tonight.
Good.
My thing is, I'm glad you're on tonight because I wanted to pick your brains about a guest that you usually have. And He's been on the show with all the other hosts, but you're the only one that's like in his genre. And I'm talking about Mr. Lobo.
Oh yeah, I've talked to Mr. Lobo once, right? I've had Mr. Lobo.
You've had him on a couple times, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. So yeah, I'm good with Mr. Lobo. I loved having him on back just before Halloween, I think.
Right. Well, the thing I'm talking about though, when you have him on. The thing that makes that so interesting is that you know as much about what he's talking about as he does.
I don't think so.
The other hosts are like digging for it, you know. But here's my question. Do you remember, and I don't remember, I think it was either 73 or 74, that classic movie called Willard came out. Do you remember that?
Okay, this is stupid me, but I was actually rewatching it the other day.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
Yeah.
So, when Mr. Lobo was on your show, he talked about this guy who was on all of the Saturday Night Creature Feature movie. He was one of the hosts.
Right.
His name was Bob Wilkins. And in the Bay Area in California, he had the Creature Features. Where I lived in Stockton, California, it was the Bob Wilkins Horror Night. And then
right.
I think he had a show in Chicago. And he had another one, like, he was all over the place. And he had a different name for all these movies, but he would show these really corny movies at night. But what I wanted to find out from you was, that actor that played Willard in that movie Willard, was that Bob Wilkins? Because it's a spitting image of the guy.
Oh, yeah. No. That's the very famous... So I was watching it on like Peacock or something. It was like an app I don't go to very often, and I was surprised that it was on there, or maybe it was Amazon Prime or something. But anyway, it came up, and so I was watching like the first 20 minutes of it. No, that's Bruce Davison. Remember
Bruce
that actor? Good looking blonde guy. You would know him from X-Men. He's in, I'm trying to think of other things, you know. I mean, he's such a recognizable actor, but that was the star of the original Willard.
Okay. So, but if you remember, didn't Bob Wilkins have that same look?
Yeah. Well, and remember, yeah, Mr. Lobo worked for Wilkins. I think that's how the whole thing started, or he was
okay.
The number one fanboy. And yeah, I can see that connection. We had, and I actually have him right. I'm looking at it right now. In Chicago, when I was growing up, we had Sven Gulli, and Sven Gulli was the original Sven Gulli on Channel 32 was
Gulli,
kind
right.
of the Bob Wilkins of that. And now the son of Sven Gulli is the guy who's on now, and he's on MeTV regularly. He's awesome too.
Yeah, I haven't personally had a TV for 25 years. So. It's kind of been refreshing, but I was just wondering because the other, just out of you know, passing. The other day, somebody was asking me, well, what is a really good but safe for kids, you know, to watch, but kind of scary B movie? And I said, dude, I got just the one, man. It's Willard. You got to watch it. Do you know what year that was? That came out?
Well, the original one, because remember the remake was like early 2000s.
I'm talking about the original one.
Yeah. With the Michael Jackson song that was used in the sequel, Ben. Willard was 71?
71. I thought it was 73.
I want to say Ben was 73.
Okay, that makes sense. I knew it was right in there. Yeah, Ben was another killer movie too, but I think they were on the verge of making a third one that would have ruined it.
I think Willard, if I were a little kid, that would scare the hell out of me. I don't know that I could handle Willard.
But I meant, you know, what he was really looking at was, you know, kind of scary, but no sex stuff in it.
Oh, right. Oh, well, that's your movie. Yeah, there was no sex with the rats. There was a love affair, but there was no sex, I have to say.
That was a tearjerker, man, when he, like, drowned him in a big cage.
I know. I'll tell you something. I'll just tell you, because I watch, you're not watching television, so you won't know what I'm talking about. But there's a show on Discovery called Hoarders. And it's a semi kind of doc series about people who are hoarders by nature, and then they try to give them therapy. And the guy that they had, what started me looking for Willard on, and I think I found it on the Peacock app or HBO maybe. But anyway, it was the guy was hoarding rats in his house.
Yeah.
He had 3,500 of them. In real life. So he's a real life Willard, and the neighbors and the city came in and said, either you get rid of these rats or, you know, your house is condemned and we pull it down. So he ended up having to find homes for 3,500 rats.
Buy about 20 cats.
Yeah. Well, but these were rats that lived in, they were about the size of cats. They lived in the walls. So he didn't have them in cages. This guy literally turned over his whole house to rats, and he had holes cut in the walls, and the rats would climb up into the walls, and then he'd put food out on the floor, and they'd all come pouring out of the walls to come eat the food.
Oh,
it was so disgusting. I couldn't believe it. But that's, I only tell you that because you don't have a TV. So consider that one for something else later on. It was a pleasure to talk to you, Jeff. Let me go wildcard line, and we'll pick up Carl in Boston on Coast to Coast AM. Carl?
Hey, Ian. Hey, thanks for letting me on. Happy New Year.
And to you.
I just wanted to talk about a couple things. Interdimensional travel.
Good.
And the holographic universe. Has anyone ever seen them? I believe I've seen them. They wear like Oakley shades, kind of like covering all their eyes, and, you know, the life-size holographs. And I believe they led me to a portal site to another dimension, which is, something that I'll probably never get the chance at again. But, through microwave mapping, you know, we've noticed that the universe has divided itself already, and maybe they got another Earth and another dimension and another, you know, just universe, which they've already said is true. So I was just bringing up the topic. Has anyone ever seen the holographic universe or had experiences, or is that just a unique thing for me? And I doubt that.
Well, because first we'll find out, because we have about an hour and 45 minutes left of open lines or so. So who knows? And we'll find out whether somebody else resonates with that. I have not. I think the interdimensional travel piece is very interesting, because I think that even recently I saw a science article about it discussing that this is not so much the realm of science fiction anymore, that there are some real discussions about it. It's not quite what you were talking about, but the idea of being able to beam something to departiculize and reparticulize something.
They've already done teleportation, and know, there's a movie called Alpha Gateway that talks about interdimensional travel, and I was wondering if that's not science fact instead of science fiction. You know,
couldn't tell you
the thought. So
couldn't tell you, but it's
anyway,
it's very interesting. Did you, when you say you experienced holographic beings, what do you mean by that?
Well, it was like I was driving down the road in western Georgia, and it was middle of the night. You know, there was no other cars, and
right.
I was with my fiance at the time, and you know, out of nowhere, the holographic police officer with a stop sign stopped, and then there was three other people with, they all were wearing glasses, and they got in my car, and then I drove to go to Waffle House, and I stayed in the car because I was like, you know, I didn't know what to think. And anyway, on the way back, we stopped at this gas station, and I got this, the real sense that that was where they wanted me to come back to transport, you know, a portal, you know, that they had to get to another dimension. And I missed my opportunity because I missed it, because I didn't really want to leave this earth. So, yeah.
Where do the sunglasses come into it?
Well, it's like they're in I don't know, they just wear, they all had sunglasses on, like they were in with the sun or in another dimension. I don't know. That's the question I'm posing. Is anyone ever seen it before?
Well, we'll find out. It's open line, so maybe somebody will pick up that thread of a conversation later on. Thanks for jumping in. And I don't mind telling you, I'm sure like the rest of the world, you know, I too am tired of wearing a mask. I'd take interdimensional travel if I meant I didn't have to wear a mask. My wife had to fly. She said it was very interesting. She said one of her flights, everybody was super respectful of each other's space, and there was a real, you know, there was sort of a kindness that went into it that sort of kept anybody from getting too upset or, you know, challenging somebody for wearing a mask. And she has to be very careful, and we both do. I'm around students and my mother-in-law, who is if she's listening, Mary, I love you. And we're all being very careful around of our mom. But other people are obviously less so, or they're belligerent about it. And she said the last couple of flights, she said people have been really going out of their way. And I hope that means that we can get past this, you know, as fast as possible. Daniel is in Wichita, not far away, on a wild card line on Coast to Coast. Daniel?
Hi, Ian.
Hi, buddy.
How are you?
Cold. I'm sure you are, too.
It's we frigid. Are, too.
It's super cold in Kansas.
I talked to you, I was wondering if you'd let me do a shout-out to one of your colleagues in K-State.
Sure.
One of the kindest men I have ever talked to.
Oh, good. Who's that?
I have not met him personally. His name is Dr. Schimmerhorn. And he's a professor of veterinary medicine at K-State.
Oh, cool. Yeah, the vet school here is super busy, and they have great reputation. They do. There's both big and small animal vets, you know, so they do a lot of the farm stuff.
He has finally got recognized in a national publication, and he has had no obligation to call me back, and he called me back and spoke to me about that I had that had diabetes.
Well, interesting.
He ended up saving my cat's life.
Oh, good.
I wanted to let people know what a nice man he was.
Well, I will. I have an inner office mail system, so I can find him easily, and I will tell him that you passed along those good words.
Okay. As you know, that I've had a lot of problems. Suffer from depression.
Yes, sir.
I've seemed to overcome that in the last few months by my TV broke and I didn't have the money to buy another one. And I get along really well without television. I miss Spengooly.
Oh, yeah, the man.
Other things, but what I've done, and I'm suffering from palsy.
How are you?
I don't know exactly what kind it is. They just always called it the shakes. My grandfather, my father had it, and now I'm getting older. I've got it. And what I've done is be grateful for things like warm water in the winter, and caring about people that have less and that are less fortunate than I am. And it's really, really picked my mood up. And my outlook on life. One of my greatest joys is I found a new kitten just after I spoke to you last, just a little bit after Thanksgiving. And I put him on my pillow. And I drop the pillow down, holding it with my arms, and look in his eyes. And he has the most amazing look of wonder.
And gratitude, probably.
Right. And it's, you know, I've learned now it's the small, insignificant things to most people, but... anyone out there that suffers, or I consider it a privilege now, but that has problems with their mood, or that have depression,
right?
Situational or hereditary, medically. If they go out and extend or able to try in the least ways to extend themselves to other people.
So it's the easiest way. It's such an important way to keep our own problems in perspective. And I commend you for that. And especially because you've had your challenges and your losses. And the more that you can share that vulnerability with other people and show them that there's a way for them to hang in there too, you benefit them and they benefit you. I think that's
really
great.
Is. And when you see gratitude, or you see that you have helped somebody, and I know we wear masks now, but I truly believe the eyes are the window to the soul.
Yeah, we can see a lot through the eyes. I'm coming up to the bottom of the hour. I think you're going to enjoy tomorrow night's guest if you can listen, Daniel. We're talking about the code to joy and unlocking even more, perhaps, of what's holding a lot of us back. Post-holidays, new year, but still a lot going on. We'll get our guest, George Pratt, on, Dr. George Pratt, coming up tomorrow on Coast to Coast. And we'll give you all the numbers you need next. Open lines means you get to take us anywhere you want to go. We'll start with Cornelius on a wild card line in Louisiana. Cornelius, how are you?
Hey, Ian, God bless you, and God bless all the Coast to Coast listeners and callers. I just want to tell you something, Ian. I really enjoy that guy with the cat story and stuff. That was, like you said, you want to have some positive with all the stuff that's been going on in the country and stuff. It's good to have some positive stuff to say. I don't know if you know this, but I lost my dad last month, and it just means so much. Tommy and George and Ruthie and Mikey and Barry, they've all been helping me and stuff and calling me and stuff. And then I've got other friends like Wayne in Washington, and I got a new friend, Robert, in British Columbia. I mean, it's just made, like I call it, a coast-to-coast connection. And
You ought to start your own dating service. You ought to be like Cornelius Date.
Nothing like that.
You should be the matchmaker. You know all these people. You ought to hook them up together. You could do cornydate.com.
Cornydate.com, huh? That's great. You know, Ian.
If you're feeling a little corny, call it cornydate. Yeah, be good.
Ian, I've got to tell you this. You know, I've been crying a whole lot and stuff.
I'm sorry.
Papa's gone. No.
No, I am sorry. I am.
No,
I know
it's
that.
Not to be sorry.
But I've been through that. I lost my dad, and I remember it comes up at weird times, doesn't
right.
it? It's like suddenly you're not expecting. You're like, why am I crying now? What happened here? I'm standing in line at a grocery store. What was that trigger about, you know?
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, too. And like I said, I love Annie. We hadn't heard from the lovely Louise from Louisville, the reincarnated Cleopatra. But I tell you, and Moses from Florida, and then that other Wayne from Chicago, and, of course, Walt from Pennsylvania. But, Ian, I think George lost his father also. And it's just something, you know, like you say, you could be in a grocery store or anywhere, and then you think about your dad or something, smell or something reminds you.
Yeah.
But both mom and dad are gone, so they're both together now, and it's just me
That's
now
good.
In this big old, well, not big old house, but it's a pretty
I get that.
Size house. And
well, I remember when I got a package from my dad. He sent it just before he died. He didn't know he was going to die. And, of course, my father, being who he was, he sent it the absolute cheapest rate possible. So took weeks for it to arrive in my house. But it was so weird because I go to the mailbox and suddenly there's a letter from my dad. And it was like a small booklet, and he had sent it book rate. And it was that threw me off completely. I was not expecting
that.
So
he had passed.
He had passed.
Get this passed. Package,
totally.
It already passed.
Exactly. 3 weeks later, just out of the blue, I was just not prepared for that one. But we had already had a ceremony for him and the whole bit, and suddenly a package shows up. It was feeling very like, you know, sort of Twilight Zone when it arrived. But
hey, have you ever been to a military funeral?
Sure, a couple times.
Oh. Man, I tell you, that was so odd. My dad was in the Air Force. He was a Korean War vet.
Right.
And when they didn't shoot off any guns this time because I guess of COVID and stuff, they don't want. But they sent two Air Force honor guards and stuff and, of course, played taps. But when they fold that flag and hand it to you, boy, it just it's something in. And I'm a military police officer, or was, so I'll of course, somebody else will get my flag. I won't be around to see that.
Well, you got a list of 30 people who are going to fight over it, apparently.
Oh,
so,
Lord.
But you know what? This is. I'm glad you mentioned it. My father was a Navy vet, World War II officer, and so I still have his flag.
Oh,
but
man.
Do you know why they start the 21 gun salute thing? You know how that started?
No, tell me. I don't know.
I thought it was so interesting. So it's all about in the tradition of being able to clear your wounded and your dead off the battlefield. And you were signifying when you were going to go out and make the recovery. Now, that's not true maybe for every country, but it can be traced all the way to the Middle Ages. And so they would be firing a cannon to recover, to signify this, we're going out, we're just going to get our wounded and our dead, and we're going to bring them back.
I never did know that. And I want to say hi to Mike, the millennial in Denver, too. So
there you go.
I just want to cover all the bases. But you know what, Ian? You and George and Tommy, and I would love to meet you. Maybe one day if you can come to Mardi Gras or something weird. Of course, we won't have Mardi Gras this year.
No.
You know, because of COVID and all like that. But Tommy's been here. He knows about Mardi Gras. But I've been trying to get George. Now, the closest they came to an Oswald conference in New Orleans, and that's where I met George and Tommy at a conference. And it was, man, I spent $1,000, but it was worth every bit of it. I love it.
I hope Tom got most of that. So I hope you got most of it. All right, well, Cornelius, right, thank you.
God bless you. Thank you, Coast to Coast.
Have a good night. We'll go to Doug in New Jersey on Coast to Coast AM. Doug?
Good evening. How are you tonight, Ian?
Good. It's open lines. Go ahead.
I'm glad to hear that. Yes, maybe before I get into it, somebody there could look this up. I'm trying to figure out the first show that I seen, and I know what it is. It was the original night that Mel Waters had called in for Mel's Hole, but I don't have a date on it.
Wow, that's got
to
be...
I've been listening to the show ever since then.
That's a long time, yeah.
Three consecutive nights in a row he called, and on the second night I had called in, and it was the first time that I spoke with Art. He was screening his own calls at the time.
Of course.
And, he had asked me, he said, if I got permission to go on this property, he said, would you be willing to go down into the hole? And I said, I don't know if I would do that. He says, so far they haven't found the bottom. I said, that's what's got me glued to the radio. I said, this is some of the most amazing talk radio I've ever heard. And he says, we could set you up in a bosun's chair or a swing and tie
bosun's
you in good
chair.
And just lower you down with some flashlights and cameras. And I don't think you're going to get me to do that. But
I would have been very tempted to do that. I would have loved to have been – I would love that challenge. I think it was about 97 or 98, the Mel's Hole stuff.
Okay.
I don't know. So that's a long time of listening, so thank you.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Well, the reason why I was calling in is I'm taking it back again to the Art Bell days. And he had said somebody called up. He was a little bit in the religious side, and he was going off on how the show itself was talking too much about the devil and whatnot. And
is that JC, you mean?
Right. I believe it might have been.
Oh, yeah.
It might have been.
And this show's satanic. And
she left him for a speed freak biker or something.
That's gotta be JC. Yeah, that was fun.
Right. And he was going on saying, no, we're just bringing you the news, and what you decide to do with it is up to you. And he's telling him, he says, no, you're spreading the word of the demon. And he says, we can't have that anymore. We're going to have to knock it back. So, well, eventually the phone call ended, and George said, well, there you go. I proved my point once again. He says, whether I agree or do not agree with your opinion, if it has nothing to do with politics or religion, unless the subject is on religion or politics, he says, I will go ahead and hear your argument on either side. He said, because of that, that's why you're not going to hear our show mainstream during the day. You're not going to hear, or you put on during the day, you're going to hear real estate shows and vitamin shows and banking and how to save money and this and that. He says, you're going to hear us only this time at night because they don't want you to hear us. They want everybody to be in bed sleeping.
Yeah.
And I honestly believe it because every show that I've listened to since, like you said, what was that, 97, 98, I've always felt like Big Brother had the ear to the phone and listening.
Well, I've never heard that explanation. I thought it was just because we got free parking in Sherman Oaks, so I didn't know there was like actual philosophy behind that. But Doug, I appreciate that. Let me get a couple people in before the top of the hour. Thanks for listening all those years. Not far from you, Mary is in New Jersey on a wild card line on Coast to Coast. Mary.
Hello, Ian.
Hi.
A question. Radio stations and the shows that they played, are there any archives or history being kept of any of that? Like, I'm thinking of like Pennsylvania, but all throughout the United States. Do they have archives? Is there such a thing?
You mean like a master archive of all radio stations?
Yeah, like all the radio stations that ever were, like in America, and shows that they put on. Is there any such thing?
No, and I will tell you from experience that a lot of people from the 60s and 70s rely on listeners who had recorded their shows on cassette tapes and other things when they were kids and kept them. And I even heard from a friend who sent me 4 cassettes of something that he had recorded from 1990-something. Shout out to you, Ricky D. And so we get that kind of thing. So there was no master archive. Stations keep a audio record for only a period of time that they need to cover themselves in case of a lawsuit. And so there's something called, there's a master tape of the station, but it doesn't, it's not for archiving. Most radio stations don't keep the archives longer than like 5 years, and many of them only started that practice in the last 20 years.
I was wondering, because my sister had said, and out of the blue, and I didn't ask her anymore. Now it's too late to ask her. But she said, like, my father used to sing. He loved to sing. And he was on a radio show.
Oh.
This would have to be Pennsylvania.
Sure.
I'm just wondering if there's anything.
What town would it have been?
Probably in the 40s, I would think.
Yeah,
I would think in the 1940s.
And recording back then was rudimentary. It was... you had wax masters and all sorts of stuff. There wasn't even the easy way to keep an entire station, so they would have recorded things in piecemeal. But if you can find the name of the call letters, if you can find the name of the maybe even of the host, you might get lucky with a library, because what happens oftentimes when people pass is they have donated their tapes of local radio stations to libraries. Now, again, that's catch-as-catch-can, but I have heard from other people who have found things that they were looking for research for, like, a radio article they were writing, and they felt like they lucked into it, and that their local library had kept, like, 10 reel-to-reel tapes that somebody had donated. So there's that.
Oh, that's a shame.
Give you any more hope than that.
It's a shame it's lost.
Yeah, it is what we call in the business in the ether. When we're done with it, unless you kept it, it's one of the beauties of radio is that it's on its way to Mars. We say it and it's reverberating out in space, and that's all there is to it. And sometimes that's good news, because you don't want actually any record of how bad you were that night. I wish I were joking, but Mary, thank you so much. Have a good night. We'll go to first time caller line. Darcy is in Oregon on Coast to Coast. Darcy? Darcy?
Hello?
First time caller line. Hi.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
You're on the air. You're doing great.
Oh, thank you. First off, I'd like to say Happy New Year.
Thank you, and to you too.
And I have a question for you about something you said last year.
Oh, good luck. But go ahead, see if I remember that.
Well, I think you will. There was something being said, I don't remember what that was about, but you said, this is not the end times. If that's what you're worried about, this is not the end times. I can guarantee you that.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, what knowledge do you have? Why do you say that?
Well, I have a Master's of Divinity, and I have studied this subject for 20 years.
I have your book about millennials.
Thank you. The really comes down to is this idea of apocalyptic movements and the belief in them. Every generation has one. There's a period of time when every generation seems like this is the end times, and they make the argument for that, and then it passes, and then we go to the next generation and it starts all over again. And it's been going on for 1,000 years. So somebody's going to be right someday, but I think we're a long way off from that. And by the way, too, within that context, the very things which are spoken of, say, for example, in the book of Daniel or in the book of Revelation, neither of those events correspond to what is happening now. So that's another reason, too. Some people hone in on one or two things in the news and go, it's here. But it's much more complicated than that. So I assure you, sleep well. The earth will be waiting for us all in the morning. More open lines calls coming up on Coast to Coast AM.